Welcome to another edition of Wax Ecstatic. I'm your host, Matt Salmon, as we rummage through this monster box of baseball cards from my own personal collection. It's been sitting in a closet for years, been moved around from apartment complex to apartment complex, now to my home. And just rummaging through it one day, I said, you know, there's some pretty good cards in here. And then there are some pretty bad ones, including the one that we are looking at today, the 1982 Fleer baseball set. An awful set. I want to hear your comments. I want to see what you think about the 82 Fleer set. You can comment at Wax and Gum Stains on Twitter. Again, Wax and Gum Stains. Now, I'm going to rip the 82 Fleer set today, but in all honesty, the 82 card sets, that's plural, that's all three of them, Fleer, Donruss, and Topps, in my opinion, train wrecks. They just did not look good. We'll talk about Donruss on the next podcast, Topps after that. From a design perspective, they were lacking a lot. From insert perspectives, they were not that great. Just from star power, they weren't that great. And I think all these years later, we're coming up on 35 years after they were released, I think the one redeeming factor of the 82 card sets is Cal Ripken Jr.'s rookie card. That's it. That is it. Each set did have a rookie card for Cal Ripken Jr. That kind of saved the sets because, again, they just didn't look good. They still, quality-wise, weren't that great. And they're still valuable. You know, people still collect them and still buy them, but just train wreck cards. And the Fleer set is by far the worst, not only of the 82 set, but in my firm belief, it is the worst baseball card set ever made. And all you have to do is look at the card that we pulled today. Larry Bittner here with the Cincinnati Reds. Now, this is nothing against Larry. In fact, Larry was a pretty good veteran player in Major League history. We'll talk about him in just a moment. But just look at the Larry Bittner card here. Let's look at the front. So Larry Bittner, this is card number 59 in the 82 set. The photography, it's a nice posed shot here, probably in spring training. And I have to say the photo quality in the 82 Fleer set is a little better than the 81 Fleer set because, well, Fleer was actually able to go out and get current pictures of players and mostly better quality pictures. So the picture is good, but then you've got his name at the bottom. You've got the team on the lower left at the bottom, lower right, the position, and that's it. It is one of the most boring, plain, blah, vanilla isn't even the right word. In fact, that's an insult to vanilla. I actually like vanilla. Vanilla actually has a flavor. It's vanilla. And if you ever have true vanilla bean flavor, there's a taste to it. This is just, eh. In fact, it looks like those cheap knockoff cards that were made. You remember these in the late 80s, early 90s, when baseball cards were just so popular. Everybody was making them. I mean, you could find baseball cards in cereals. You could find them in Slim Jims. I kid you not, somewhere I have a baseball card of Will Clark from like 1991 or 92. It came in a bag of Purina dog food. Seriously. It was a picture of Will Clark and his dog. It was kind of neat, but I mean, everybody was making baseball cards. But my point is that this looked like one of those knockoff cards that somebody was just cranking out just to get in on the action. It also looked like a sticker card, really, you know, where you could peel the sticker off and stick it to something. Not very innovative, the front of the 82 Fleer set. And really, the only thing that makes Larry Bittner's card unique is Larry Bittner's name. I mean, two I's, two T's, that's not very common. Now, you flip the card over to the back. Here you see card number 59 once again. I told you during the 81 Fleer review with the sad story of Larry Cox that Fleer used to put their cards together in sequential order of where a team finished the year before. So the Reds in the strike split season of 1981 finishing rather well and coming right behind the LA Dodgers, who were the World Series champions in 1981. So they get the low number, if you will. On the back, you've got the player's name. You've got the position and the team, much like the front of the card, the career batting average. And you can see Larry Bittner had a very lengthy career. We'll talk about that in a moment. And then the one thing that I really like about this, actually two things. There were a couple of things that did stand out as positives. Not enough to, you know, pull back from the negatives. But first of all, the color choice on the back, you've got the light blue, powder blue. Let's be honest here. Powder blue. It is the early 80s. So you got the powder blue border. You've got the yellow middle there, the black text. So it stands out. It's a lot easier to read than the gray and yellow and black that they used in 81. But in that upper right corner, a Cincinnati Reds logo. And I love that Cincinnati Reds logo. Growing up outside of Tampa, Florida, the Reds used to train in Tampa and in nearby Plant City during my childhood. So I was very familiar with the Cincinnati Reds logo. I wanted to be Johnny Bench when I was a little kid. And that's just such a cool logo. And I'm just a big fan of putting a Major League Baseball logo anywhere. And I like that Fleer did this on the back of the card. Now, what I also like about 82, and even though it doesn't really add to the 82 set, but I just like it, so I'll bring it up here. This was the year that Fleer started putting in stickers. So talking about logo stickers, you would get a card that had stickers on it. And I am a big fan of, like I said, you know, taking a logo and putting it on anything. But you put it on a sticker, if you're a kid, those stickers are going everywhere. They're going on your lunchbox. They're going on your bed. They're going on book covers. They're going on folders. When you started organizing your baseball card collection, they started going on the binders and on the cardboard boxes that held the cards. They went everywhere. And Fleer did stickers, I believe, through the 91 set. I think they stopped in 92. But whenever I would buy a pack of Fleer, I loved getting the stickers and just putting them on everything. Now, the reason why they had to go to stickers, as you may know, one of the few court battles that Topps won in their battle to try to maintain their lead in the baseball card business was they won the battle to basically be the confectionery branch of baseball cards. They were the only company that could put in bubble gum. All three companies did that in 1981, but Topps was able to win the battle. So while Donruss put in puzzle pieces, yeah, those. We'll talk about that next time. While Donruss did puzzle pieces, which nobody really wanted, Fleer did the stickers, and because I'm a big fan of logos, and when you're a kid, you'll just stick stickers to anything, I thought that was a cool thing. And it is something that Fleer did throughout the 80s and into the early 90s that I thought was really neat. And also, if you've ever rifled through some old packs of Fleer, it wasn't just like any old logo sticker. They actually got creative with it. Like, I recall the 82 Fleer set. I think the stickers were like hats. It was like the ball cap. So you would have a ball cap sticker you could put on, you know, anything that you wanted to attach a sticker to. Others, like 87 Fleer, I think, had like little mini pennant stickers. 88 Fleer, I believe it was, their stickers, it was basically on a baseball, and it looked like, you know, the baseball holder. You get a baseball sign and you put in a little plastic holder with a little plastic bronze stand. It looked like that. So they actually get a little creative with that. I think that added to the whole sticker collecting, if you will. Certainly made the cards look a lot better. And I'll tell you this, because they're not only on the monster box that I've pulled this Larry Bittner card from, but they're also on various boxes, you know, the smaller count boxes that I have stored in a bigger cardboard box somewhere. You see all these stickers. They're still there. You know, here it is, what, 25, 30, now going on 35 years later, I still have Fleer stickers on cardboard boxes. So that's just probably the only good thing to come out of the 82 set was the precedent set with the stickers in Fleer packages. Other than that, the 82 Fleer set is an absolute turd. It is just a nasty, disastrous set. Again, the only card that really keeps it alive is the Cal Ripken Jr. card. The other ones, you could have them. And when I was a kid and I started collecting older cards, because I started collecting cards in the late 80s, so when I went back to start adding cards from the early 80s sets, very rarely did I go out and buy an 82 Fleer pack. I may have bought two or three packs. So the 82 Fleer set, very few and far between in this monster box. You've got 5,000 cards. I'd say maybe 50 of them are from the 82 Fleer set. Now, while I've ripped up the 82 Fleer set, let's not rip on Larry Bittner. This is a guy who had a 14-year career, and he batted 273 over his career, which went in full circle. Drafted by the Washington Senators in 1969, he moved with the club to Texas in 1972, went on to play for the Expos, the Cubs, the Reds, as you can see here, and also played for the Rangers in 1983. So that's how it went full circle, going from Senators, Rangers, Expos, Cubs, Reds, back to the Rangers. So it's not like starting with the Reds and ending with the Reds, but the Rangers organization. Larry Bittner was able to go full circle there. Now, what's interesting about Larry Bittner's career, even though it looks like just a journeyman infielder career, and that's pretty much what it was, although, again, he was an effective hitter. He was a .273 career hitter. He was also brought into a game to pitch. So he's one of those guys called into duty, pressed into duty, if you will. On July 4th, 1977, a doubleheader between the Cubs and the Expos. This is when Bittner was with the Cubs. He gets called into game one against the Expos. And at this point in time, in the eighth inning, the Expos are just crushing the Cubs 11-2, two men on base. Long story short, Bittner ends up going an inning and a third, allowing six earned runs, striking out three batters, but also giving up three home runs. Although you look at the lineup that the Expos had back then, some pretty decent names that he gave up home runs to, including Larry Parrish, also Ellis Valentine, very underrated outfielder, and Andre Dawson, the Hawk, going yard on Larry Bittner. So the game ended 16-2, and again, Bittner giving up three home runs, but an inning and a third's pitch, still giving up six earned runs, striking out three despite his allowing three home runs. An interesting little byline to Larry Bittner's career. And one other thought about Larry Bittner and his career, if you look at the back of this Fleer card, you do see a couple of minor league stops. And I always liked that when you could look at a card, and not just in 1982, they did this a lot, even going back into the 60s. If you had a player who had been around for just a little bit, the card company, in particular Topps, would kind of pad the back of the card with the minor league stops along the way. And I think it's neat, especially if you go back to the early to mid 60s, you can see some minor league stops involving what are now major league cities. So you could see a player who finally worked his way up to the major leagues, but also spent some time riding the bus in Atlanta or Miami or Tampa, St. Petersburg. Seattle is another one. I'm trying to think of another one off the top of my head. Montreal. You know, there's a lot of cities, San Diego, that came around to eventually become major league cities, but they were minor league cities at one point in time, and I liked seeing the minor league cities on the back of cards. So, again, something small and neat about the 82 Fleer set, but other than that, just garbage. I just never liked it. But that, again, is an all due respect to Larry Bittner. Not garbage, because he was a .273 career hitter. He was pressed into service as a pitcher in the first game of a god-awful doubleheader for the Chicago Cubs. The man had 14 years in Major League Baseball and, most impressively, two I's and two T's in his last name. If you have any comments about the 82 Fleer set or anything else, feel free to hop on Twitter. Wax and Gum Stains is the handle. Just let me know. I'd be happy to talk about your comments, answer any questions you have. And we also take suggestions, too. Something you like about the podcast, something you don't like, let us know. Again, at Wax and Gum Stains. Thanks for following us on Twitter. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Next time around, we look at a slightly better set from 1982. You may argue it's the best set, the 82 Donruss set. So we'll do that next time around. I'm Matt Salmon, your host of Wax Ecstatic. Thanks for tuning in.